Saudi Arabia says global oil production needs to be cut by 1 million barrels a day. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivian Nunes. Good morning. Saudi Arabia says there will be a glut in oil next year if global production isn't reduced by 1 million barrels a day. The country says it will export 500,000 fewer barrels in December. Spencer Welch from the oil markets team at IHS told me what had prompted the decision.
It's a real change from where we have been very recently. So 5 weeks ago, the people were talking about $100 per barrel coming back. OPEC were worried about the market overheating, and they actually lifted restrictions and let their producers make as much as they could. And now, just 5 weeks later, we're in totally the opposite view.
Because we had seen, with the introduction of sanctions on Iran, hopes from the US president that OPEC would increase supply.
President Trump was strongly hinting and asking OPEC to increase supply, and OPEC tried to do that. In truth, that very few of the OPEC producers have spare capacity, with the exception of Saudi Arabia. So they can't increase production enough to cancel out the impact of those Iranian sanctions.
What about the non-OPEC oil producers, US shale or Russia?
US shale production is increasing rapidly, and they're going to set a new historic record for oil production in the United States this year, whereas Russia, they are working with OPEC to try and support the price. The Russian oil minister was present yesterday, and Russia may well take part in some of the supply restrictions if they were to resume again next month.
So where does this all leave us for consumers filling up their tanks at the pump?
Price changes notoriously take a long time to feed through to consumers, particularly where the market price is dropping. It's quite likely that will never be seen by consumers.
Spencer Welch, let's do the numbers. The dollar is at a 17-month high, and London's FTSE 100 was the only major in Europe in positive territory, lifted by a weaker pound. A sluggish economy across Europe and rising costs took their toll on bottom lines, but oil stocks are seeing them rise steadily this morning. The world's biggest online shopping day has got even bigger. Shoppers in China spent $30.8 billion on Singles Day over the past 24 hours, as the BBC's Faria Massoud reports.
Singles Day is thought to have started back in the 1990s when a group of Chinese university students used it to mark their singledom. The date, November the 11th, was reportedly chosen as 1111 resembles four solitary figures on the page. Then Jack Ma, the founder of online retailing giant Alibaba, transformed the day into a shopathon back in 2009. Singles Day set a new sales record on Sunday. In fact, $1 billion was spent in the first 85 seconds alone. Consumers rushed to bag bargains on everything from smartphones to milk powder. But even though the $30 billion total spend was a 27% increase on last year's total, it's still the slowest growth in the 10-year history of Singles Day. Analysts say this reflects China's weak economic growth and increased competition from other online shopping sites.
The BBC's Faria Massoud reporting. When Brazil's new government, led by President-elect Jair Bolsonaro, is inaugurated on January 1st, it will face a number of economic challenges. Brazil is emerging from its worst-ever recession. While it had been one of the world's fastest-growing economies during the 2000s, recently it was badly hit by weakening demand from China for exports like oil and soy. So where does the new administration begin when it comes to improving Brazil's finances? I asked the country's outgoing finance minister, Eduardo Guardia.
The biggest problem we have in Brazil is the fiscal imbalance. So inflation is under control, interest rates is at the lowest level we have ever had. But we do have a big challenge. The debt is very high as a percentage of GDP. So it's urgent that we continue with the reforms to improve the fiscal stance. So fiscal consolidation is the biggest challenge for the Brazilian economy today.
The new economy minister is Paulo Guedes. He's well known for being a disciple of Milton Friedman's free market reforms. Do you expect to see a wide-scale sell-off or privatization of public assets?
Look, I think there are other priorities they will have to face first. I think privatization is a very good thing to do. We are privatizing companies in during this administration, but to privatize in a large scale would face a lot of political resistance. As we have other priorities like pension reform, tax reform, I think they will postpone this discussion for later on.
From an international perspective, and even from the point of view of many voters in Brazil, the outgoing government has been marred by corruption scandals. That's a big problem for Brazil's image, isn't it?
Look, I think the corruption scandals were related to the Dilma administration, not to Temer administration. We didn't have any scandal with Temer administration.
But the party suffered at the election because of those
absolutely
past problems.
This is something that all the politicians in Brazil suffered during this election. Corruption is a big problem, so we need more transparency. We need the accounting courts working very close to the government to punish corruption. So this is a problem not only in Brazil, but in many other countries. And we have to first realize that we have a problem, and then we have to try to solve this problem. So we need more control, we need more transparency, and we have to avoid political interference in state-owned companies. This is very important to prevent corruption going forward.
Brazil's outgoing finance minister Eduardo Guardia speaking to me there. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.